Welcome to the Ring of Honor review. I'm Oliver Newman.
And I'm Stephen Jackson.
And yeah, thank you so much for your listens to our Ring of Honor debut show, which was released a week tomorrow. It's flying in our SoundCloud charts. 960, I think, by last count, which is just absolutely incredible. And I'm sure you feel the same way, don't you, Stephen?
Oh, it's just phenomenal. I mean, when you were messaging me and telling me the views were gradually going up, and, you know, to hit sort of 500, you know, listens is something, but to nearly be there at 1,000 on a first debut episode is just absolutely incredible. So thank you, everyone who's listened and, you know, is hopefully going to tune in to episode 2. And, yeah, it's great.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, when I was speaking to my co-host, Chris Lappin, this was an idea because of Ring of Honor getting a UK TV deal here with Fight Network. And I said, you know, what about this podcast idea? He said, you know, go for it. I said, I'm doing it with Stephen Jackson or no one at all. it's true. And then obviously I broached the idea to Stephen. He said yes. And I was like, finally, it's taken us about 6 months, but we've come up with an ROH project. And, you know, and it's here it is. It's absolutely fantastic. The feedback has been incredible. And that one idea has, you know, spawned into something, you know, absolutely incredible. And we're chuffed to pieces, really.
Yeah, completely agree.
So, we didn't mention this last week, and we apologize for that. We kind of thought about it when we was off air, but huge news for Ring of Honor fans. The signing of Dan Maff, Stephen, what do you make of this?
Fantastic news. I mean, we were talking about off air getting former legends back involved in Ring of Honor, or being able to come back and to, you know, fill up the roster and to bring something different to the matches that are taking place. And Dan Maff's got a massive history with the company, and, you know, with his feuds back in the day, in the early years, back in 2002 and 2003. And I mean, he was on the first ever show.
He was part of the first match on the first ever show, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I'm just looking. Mm-hmm. It's been that long since I've
Christopher,
you know,
Street
heard his name.
Connection, I think.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I'm just looking here, just sort of as I'm talking to you, and because it was just a little bit before my time, but. Yeah, I mean,
that's why I'm here, Stephen.
Exactly, to fill out the gaps that we can't fill in each other. It's you know, that's where it's going to go. But it is huge news, and I mean, he's a great wrestler as well. He was back in the day, and, you know, I mean, he still kept his shape from, you know, from what I've seen. And, you know, it's I heard that he had a really good match with PCO, which then led him to be you know, to be re-signed by the company. I think that's great as well, in that you know, he was able to impress the individuals there to be able to, you know, get re-signed. So it's going to be really, really exciting to see what he can, you know, he can bring to the company.
Yeah, I remember him and Monster Mac, the Hit Squad, and I remember them pumping up the ROH fans outside of the
Murphy Rec Center.
Yeah, Murphy Rec Center. That's the one. Yeah, that's why you're here, Stephen. When you can't fill in things, I do, and vice versa. Fantastic. Yeah, he's pumping up the fans outside, and it was just like, that's why we came up with the ROH chants to do with our theme song. You know, hopefully you enjoyed that, ladies and gents. But yeah, him and Monster Mac, two heavy hitters, and then when he, you know, when he did some singles matches, it was, you know, he was really good back in the day as well. So, yeah, I'd love to see that PCO match. Hopefully that's to come up in the, you know, the future episodes of the Fight Network ROH show. Yeah, really, really looking forward to that if that happens. And yeah, we'd just like to say at this time, this might be an easier show than last week, because it was very highlights based and there was only the main event to think about. So, yeah, we just got a lot of highlights. If anything really major happened, then, you know, me and Stephen are going to talk about it. If it isn't, because you can't really talk about a highlighted match because obviously you don't see the full thing. So I think the first thing that came up that is of any note was Angelina Love against Kelly Klein.
Yeah.
From the Glory Bella show. And this was the debut of Maria Manic. Is that correct, Stephen?
I think so, from what I know of, yeah. I mean, she was, you know, she's a beast. They're interesting, the women of honor, in that there's so many great female wrestlers who are independent talents, which the WWE or, you know, Impact haven't taken, you know, as their own. And, you know, it's good in the sense that they are fleshing out the roster a bit. And I would like her to have a really good feud with Kelly Klein, because Kelly Klein is, you know, one of the best female, I think personally, one of the best female wrestlers around. And I think that she could bring something really different to the roster. And it'll be exciting to see what happens.
Absolutely. And this interference led to Kelly Klein beating Angelina Love and becoming a 3-time Women of Honor World Champion.
Yeah. Huge news. You know, I mean, I've never been a massive fan of Angelina Love. And I mean, she has improved a lot since her early days, but for me, it's all about Kelly Klein. I'm just glad that she's been able to get that, that Women of Honor title back, to then be able to push especially now that we have got the UK deal, you know, to be able to push the Women of Honor division a lot further, because, I mean, they've been on YouTube for so long and they've been having some great matches on, you know, for free for people to see on YouTube. But, yeah, it's exciting. You know, it's always good to have a fresh face in there and someone who can mix it up, and because it has been quite stale for a time as the Women of Honor division. So it'll be exciting to see how it'll progress.
And the next thing of note that happened, I'm hoping you can give me some background on this guy, because once again, much like the ROH TV champion Shane Taylor, I don't know too much about him, because, you know, my ROH viewing days ended in 2009. The number one, Brian Johnson?
I don't really know. I know some things about him, but I don't know much about him. He's one of those where he's been around for a while, but he's not actually being on my radar. He's an interesting one in that he's wrestled around for quite a bit and he's done quite a lot of, you know, been a lot of different promotions, but he came as part of the 2018 Top Prospect Tournament. Sorry, tripping off my tongue, but but I haven't really seen much of his work. I don't know whether that's just because he's, you know, been on such lower, you know, the indies, where you've really got to search through, you know, the trolls of the internet, and, you know, you've got to find, like, you know, probably a bit like it was back in the day in Ring of Honor, where, you know, it was like the hard cam thing and, you know, like the, you know, the sort of handheld thing. Mm-hmm. But I do think he's got a really good charisma, and I think he's got a really good look, and he really does, you know, grab the screen when he is on it. And I would like to see a lot more of him. That's the other problem with Ring of Honor, I would say, is that those people who do, and we've talked about it before in previous podcasts, but those people who do have that star potential, I really want to see them actually being used to that full potential in the moment, and not to be months in advance, months later, when it's not actually relevant anymore. So he's one of those people who I've seen a little bit of his work, but not as much as I would hope to see. So he's one of the few, Oliver, that I don't know much about, unfortunately. So I might have to go back and research.
Call yourself an ROH expert. And, you know, I call you an ROH expert. Chris calls you an ROH expert. And it's just lies. It's lies. but yeah, much like you, I don't know too much about him, but I thought that his presence on screen, interrupting Ian Riccaboni and Quinn McKay. That was really interesting. Made me want to see more of him, especially in the ring. So, we'll see what the number one, Brian Johnson, does in the future. And yeah, to the next lot of highlights. A wrestler from back in the day of NWA, Wildside for me on the Wrestling Channel, Altar Boy Luke, who's now Luke Hawks, was wrestling with his son, which just makes me, and I'm sure you, feel really old.
It does.
Against the Briscoes. And from what we saw with this match, it looked really interesting. And I guess the one thing that ROH did well in this instance with the highlights was they wrote at the bottom of the screen, you can watch this on Honor Club, Glory Banner. But much like the Wrestling Channel, the highlights of the show kind of, I don't know, it kind of took away a lot. I think I would rather have a couple of complete matches per show.
Yeah.
You don't have to show the whole of Glory Banner, but like last week was the amazing Alex Shelley versus Jonathan Gresham match, and Rush against Last Real Man, Silas Young. See, I have been doing my research. And I want to say this moment in time, actually, because I was very negative towards Rush's finisher. Having watched it back, he goes full force into somebody's face. So I don't want to be on the end of this finisher. So I'd like to retract my statement about saying it looked weak, because it actually looks really brutal. But yeah, like I said, this show was very highlights based. That's what we'll be talking about tonight. One of the really cool things that I thought was adding in and stuff was Brian Zane's five finishes in ROH. I'll just run through these, Steve, and then you can tell me your thoughts about them afterwards. Number five was Jeff Cobb's Tour of the Islands. Number four is Flip Gordon's Star Spangled Stunner. Number three is Mark Briscoe's Froggy Bow. Number two is Rush's The Bull's Horns. And number one is Jay Lethal's Lethal Injection. And I want to say at this point, before I throw it to you, Jay Lethal's Lethal Injection was a move on Extreme Warfare Revenge. And it's one of those moves that I hadn't seen before, but I was like, I probably need to put him in a prominent role, because I just like the thought of the Lethal Injection being a finisher. I never saw it or anything like that until, watching ROH. But I just wanted to add that in for the computer game fan in me. So, yeah, what are your thoughts on these five finishes in top five finishes in ROH, according to Brian Zane?
It's a subjective list then. I mean, I definitely think the Lethal Injection is the number one finisher in terms of its prominence, and it is a great finish, and it does look incredible and it does bring the crowd to their feet when it's done just right. It's a bit like the Canadian Destroyer in that it comes out of nowhere and it just is such a great finish to a match. I do really like Tour of the Islands, what Jeff Cobb's finisher. I think that's a really good sort of take on the Black Hole Slam, and when he does it full force against someone really, really small, like Cheeseburger or Ryan Nova or someone, it really does look absolutely devastating. Or the opposite, where it's someone huge like PCO or Brody King, it looks absolutely insane how he's able to, strength's incredible. The Froggy Bow, I mean, the funny thing about the Froggy Bow was that all the, I don't know if you picked up on it as well, Oliver, but all the highlight clips of the Froggy Bow didn't actually show Mark doing it as a Froggy Bow. It was just more an elbow to me. I have seen him do the Froggy Bow for years, and sometimes a bit like Art Barr, you can get that proper frog into it, but those just look like elbows to me, so I don't know really where that kind of, came from, really.
I love the way you mentioned Art Barr there. Are you going to give a cheap plug to your article about the world when worlds collide? Maybe. On the wrestling estate there, Stephen, or have I just got it for you?
I don't know, maybe. Got to get the time, got to try and get these get these little plugs in here and there, to try
we've got time to burn tonight, Stephen. So
we have.
I'll have it.
Definitely. yeah, and I mean, the bull's horns, like you said, it is a really, when it's done, you can see that it's a really devastating finisher. But at the same time, compared with a lot of finishers today, it doesn't really have that same impact as what other things do, you know, as I just mentioned. I mean, it's a bit like Canadian Destroyers now are done, you know, by everyone. Yet back in the day when it did actually get, it was Petey Williams who did it. And when it did, you know, hit, it was, that was it. Whereas now everyone's jumping out of them and kicking out of them like, you know, no one's business. So it
do
was...
Do you want me to give you a chance to retract the statement about Rouge's finish, or do you want to step in the ring with him?
well, I don't know about that.
Like I said, on first viewing for me, I was thinking, no, this looks like a weak finisher. But watching the, you know, the top five finishers back and stuff, he goes full force into the person's face. So, you know, in terms of a finisher, it's a unique finisher because they usually do like the hesitation drop kick, don't they? You know, Penser and Moose have done that off the top of my head. So yeah, I think it's a lethal finisher, in all honesty. Yeah. It deserved far more credit than I gave it, but you know, it is subjective, like you say.
And Flip Gordon's finisher looks looks impressive. The I can never remember the name of it. The sort of jumping stunner, which Bandido
Star Spangled Stunner.
Star Spangled Spud. See, I can't do it now. You know, tongue twister. Star Spangled Stunner.
There we go.
It's a good finisher. I do like it. I think it looks really impressive. And it, I mean, Flip Gordon's a wonder in the ring. So, so against someone like Bandido, who can just jump about like and sell it like The Rock when he used to sell the stunner back in the day for Austin, it looks great. It was a reasonable list. And I do agree with the lethal injection being number one. I agree with all five. I just maybe would have put them in a different order. I'd say let's put it that way. But that might be just me again being subjective and my favourite wrestlers and things like that as well.
And what would your order have been?
I'd have definitely put the lethal injection at number one.
Okay.
I'd have put Tour of the Islands at number two.
Okay.
I'd have put the Rouge's finisher, the Bull's Horns, number three.
Yeah.
I'd have put the Star Spangled Stunner, number four. And I'd have put the Froggy Boat, number five, only because I couldn't see any froggy in it on the clips.
Okay. Yep. That's fair enough. And I don't know enough about any of those finishers to kind of have an opinion in this. But hopefully, in a year's time, I'll be able to give more of an objective opinion. And yeah, much like the debut show, the host mentioned the TKO Ryan Vincent Masigla being found laid out backstage in Las Vegas, and obviously there's a mystery to who did that, and then there's a paid advertisement from the ROH TV champion Shane Taylor's promotions, and we're kind of wondering who's bankrolling the promotional advertisement. Any idea, Stephen?
Well, if Dan Math's been doing it, it could be Dan. I mean, Dan Math's come back. It could be Dan Math. It could be New Jack. It could be anybody. Who knows? Could be
we'll
himself.
We'll leave that
you
for
know,
the fans. I think.
Yeah.
If you get in contact with the social medias, we give you at the end of the show. we'd love to hear your thoughts. Probably the million-dollar man. I think he's ready to make an ROH appearance.
And then
to one of the most unfortunate highlights in the show, which was the villain Marty Skrull against Jay Lethal. These two would have tore it up, I have no doubt, and it would have been a match I would have loved to see in full. Obviously, like we said before, it's an opportunity to sign up for the Honor Club and to watch Glory Garner. So, I'd say based on the very quick highlights of this, it might be worth checking out this match because you got two fantastic wrestlers here who, would leave it all in the ring to get to the final of the final battle, number one contender tournament. So
it did look great.
It looked really good from the highlights, and I think it's a match you should try and seek out.
Yeah.
In the other highlights of the semi-final, PCO beats Dalton Castle, and that sets up PCO versus Marty Skrull in a Villain Enterprises final for the number one contendership to the ROH title at Final Battle. And that leads us on to the only match that was kind of shown in full, which is why I said to Stephen off air, I'm not sure if this podcast show will go longer than 15 minutes, and we might have to we might have to really work on that. And that's why I've allowed, obviously, the cheap plugs towards articles and stuff, because got a little bit of time to burn. So, you know. But yeah, this, in all seriousness, getting back to this, these two men are two of the three Ring of Honor World Six-Man Tag Team Champions, with Brody King being the third, Stephen?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. And what is very interesting about this before the match, as has been speculated online, is Marty Skrull's Ring of Honor contract is coming up, I believe, at the end of this month. So it was interesting to see which route Ring of Honor would go down. The really frustrating, well, because obviously this show happened ages ago, so I can't be that twisted about spoilers. But it was quite, fantastic that Ring of Honor decided to email me with the main event for Final Battle 2 days before the Fight Network showed this match. So I knew who was going to win. Back to the match and stuff. If we could talk about this. One of my favorite moments was before the match when Marty's like, oh, okay, we want this to be, not break any rules, let the best man win. Does the Code of Honor handshake. PCO shakes on it as well. And then Marty cracks him upside the head with his umbrella. I was like, that's just fantastic. What did you make of this statement?
It was just a brutal shot with that umbrella. It looked absolutely... It looked so violent and stiff. And, I mean, headshots now are so sort of taboo today that, I mean, if you are going to hit someone, we saw the whole thing at AEW with the, the chair situation and Cody and things and Sean Spears. So seeing, that umbrella didn't give as well. Like, it didn't snap and it didn't, there was no give to it.
No, just poked him really hard in the face.
And, PCO went down. Like, it looked like he got a right stinger from it because he went straight out of the ring afterwards. I thought it was a great beginning, and I thought the idea of Villain Enterprises
before the match, wasn't it? So it wasn't actually the beginning of the match, and he didn't get disqualified for it because it came before the bell rang. So very, very smart on Marty Skrull's part. Sorry about the interruption, Steve.
No, it's fine. I was about to say that I just loved the fact that it was Villain Enterprises in the final, and I like the fact that it was a lot more. PCO just took so much punishment in, like I said to you a bit off air, just so much punishment in the match that it was absolutely insane. I mean, this guy, like they said on commentary, like he's in his 50s and stuff, and he's still, taking these crazy bumps, and he's just, still going for it. And it was just
he's 52 and he's had a 10-year layoff.
Yeah.
That's absolutely, mate. That's incredible.
It is amazing. And you wouldn't even know it looking at him and seeing him. And, even though, and I think the thing what's refreshing as well about PCO rather than a lot of the talent in Ring of Honor is that when he was originally signed last year, a lot of people snubbed him in the sense that, you're signing, what you're signing for and all this and that. And but actually what I love about him is that he's completely different to the, like last week we saw the Alex Shelley and Jonathan Gresham, pure wrestling classic. Like, mm-hmm. PCO is the complete opposite of it, in that he's kind of still the cartoony sort of, you know, gimmick, but yet with it, he's so, he just lives that character so well that you just end up getting so drawn into it, and you end up getting so behind him because of, you know, his, you know, career, what he's had and mm-hmm. what he can do. He's just so athletic, and he's just so, he's just so crazy.
He's a badass.
Yeah, he's a badass. He's a legit badass. He's only got one eye as well, you see, because like he had one eye taken out, didn't he, when he was younger, because he was, you know, so he's just, I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was a great, I thought it was a great match. Although the whole show was highlights, and although I would have liked to have seen Marty Scurll and Jay Lethal as well, I feel that this was a great match to end the show on. I thought it was fantastic.
But yeah, just talking about the contentious points. So, you know, scroll through PCO off the top rope through a table. What's the situation regarding disqualifications in Ring of Honor?
I actually don't know about that one, to be honest, because I was thinking when that happened that is there no kind of disqualification rule there? But I don't know whether, you know, they were a bit more lenient with it, or whether something was mentioned, you know, off screen, like as in, you know, like in the introductions to the beginning, because we didn't actually hear the full rules of the tournament. We only heard there was a tournament, so we don't know if it was like no later on, like no DQ, or because it happened outside the ring, and it was like, because he didn't push him directly. He could use the argument that he didn't directly push him into the table. He like threw him off the top rope and he landed on the table, so he could do that kind of thing.
And he didn't land on the table like 100%, did he? He just about like caught the side of the table and then went through like that side of the table, as opposed to going through in the middle, which just makes a 52-year-old just look like the badass that I said he was. So yeah, just obviously contentious points, you know, in terms of this match. Brody King showed up. Give a pump kick to PCO, the Botox injection, I think it's called.
Yeah, I think so.
And obviously Villain Enterprises seem to have been siding with Marty Scurll on this. I thought, and then the next kind of issue in the match was that Gordon came out and hit the Kinder Surprise, which is just brilliant, because obviously we know about that kind of chocolate in here in the UK. And they all seem to be siding with Mighty Scurll. And the really great thing about this match was PCO wouldn't go down to these moves. You know, the near falls in this match I thought were fantastic on either side. You know, and basically, like the PCO salt, PCO's finishing move, which is the moonsault, and for a 52-year-old man weighing over 300 pounds, looks really, really impressive. Mighty Scurll kicked out. Mighty Scurll kicked out of that finisher as well. And then even with his umbrella being, you know, smacked upside the head of PCO, Brody King's interference, Flip Gordon's interference, you know, Marty Scurll in the end, even though us being Brits were pulling for him, and obviously, unfortunately, we knew the information outside of the ring, which probably should have, you know, allowed us to see how this match was going to go, and obviously 2 days before the show started, I knew who was going to be winning. So, yeah, PCO with a second PCO assault, which is the best way to win a match in terms of finisher. Heavy. You hit it once, they kick out. You hit it twice, that's the end of the match. You don't hit a move five times. And then, you know, which has happened. One of the kind of negatives in American wrestling now, and one of my negatives towards Japanese wrestling, in all honesty, I think you should have a finisher and then a super finisher, and then the match is just done, because otherwise the finisher you're using just doesn't look that great, really. If you're kicking out of 10 stumps, you should never be using a stump again, for example.
I mean, yeah, I agree with that as well. Just to interject, yeah, I mean, that was one thing I did love about this, is that it was, you know, like you said, one moonsault, got up, second moonsault, that was it. It didn't
because the Ring of Honor have had that criticism to them in the past as well. The whole, you know, false finish thing and the close two counts and, you know, endless finishes just going on and on. And it was nice to at least see that it didn't go into, you know, near fall overkill, as the term can sometimes be, you know, given to it. I feel like it was just the right amount. I agree.
Absolutely. And then from this, PCO wins the match, which I really appreciate Ring of Honor emailing me 2 days before to tell me about that happening. Can't say I'm not in the know when it comes to Ring of Honor, can you? So yeah, the ending, obviously the second PCO assault, he won the match, and he will be going on to final battle to take on the Ring of Honor world champion Roosh. What's your thoughts and feelings on this match, Stephen?
I think it'll be a really good Ring of Honor world championship match, and I feel it's a really good way to end the year for final battle, because, you know, that's when, a year since PCO joined the company, it's kind of the sort of second coming of him, and I hope that he does actually win the championship, or if not, I hope it gives Roosh a really, really good run for his money. And, you know, I mean, like, I'll just say as well, one of my favourite highlights of the match, it was just a brief moment, was when PCO did the suicide dive to the outside onto Brody King and onto Flip Gordon. I mean, yeah, when he flipped as well, he's just like a cannonball, like what Homicide used to do. It's just, oh, still does, but in, you know, the velocity of it, just, he's just able to surprise you in so many different ways. And I feel against Roosh, like, they'll have such unique, fun chemistry together, and it's such a clash of styles that I feel it'll really be something fresh and different for the final battle main event. And I'm hoping that PCO does get the victory, because he's worked his ass off for 32 years, and, you know, he's always been the bridesmaid but never the bride, and he's got great charisma, and I hope that he does, you know, get the championship and goes forward into 2020 with the belt. And it'll just be fun to see what happens, I think, more than anything, and how this will plan out until final battle as well, where the feud will go, or how they'll play into the feud between the two of them, whether there'll be some interesting tag matches between Villain Enterprises and Roosh, and, you know, how it'll all pan out. So yeah, I'm excited.
Absolutely. And like you said, you know, this version of Ring of Honor has got a clean slate with me. I don't know, you know, too much about the roster and stuff. I'm kind of learning as weeks go by. But I think, much like you said, PCO will bring, you know, that, like, never say die attitude. Obviously, he's been, you know, booked like a monster who does extraordinary things. And then you've got Roosh, who is this, you know, super fast lucha libre wrestler with, you know, with hard strikes, including obviously the bull's horns in it. It'll be a fascinating match, because, you know, the title didn't change hands until recently. I mean, because I think Death Before Dishonor has been, like, moved up, isn't it? Because when I used to watch Ring of Honor, it was a July, big show. Yeah. Wasn't it September this year?
Yeah, they've moved it to Glory by Honor's position in the calendar. So they've done a bit of moving around of the events to mix things up a bit.
So, yeah, if he's only held the title for, what, October, November, December, 3 months, it's a really interesting one, because, like you said, that PCO is, you know, tearing it up, and he's been there for a year doing so. And obviously, Roosh will be the champion for just gone 3 months. You know, are they going to take the title off him that soon? It's going to be a really interesting, you know, to see how this goes, basically. And you wanted to talk about the final battle card in general, as we reach the almost 35-minute mark, which is a lot longer than I thought we'd go, in all honesty.
I was just going to say that I'll just quickly, so we had just quickly, we had Rush and PCO in the main event for the world title. We've got the Briscoes and against Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham for the tag titles, which I think will be an awesome, awesome match.
Yeah, sounds like it could be a great match.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate because that... We'll let that go because it might spoil things for people in the future. But yeah, carry on.
I know we've got Mark Haskins, who we were speaking about last week, with facing Bully Ray in a street fight, which... You know, Bully Ray's bread and butter, so, and Mark Haskins is just insane, so I'm sure that'll be fantastic and really exciting to watch. Shane Taylor's facing Dragon Lee for the defending his Ring of Honor World TV title, which I think will be a great match as well. Another real clash of styles. And Dragon Lee, if you've not seen him anywhere, he's a fantastic luchador and he's just, you know, again, he's just the stuff he's able to do. I was going to say insane, I keep saying he's insane.
Yeah,
but,
no.
He's,
everyone's insane.
He's a brilliant talent. He's a brilliant. I'm so glad that he's able to be at Final Battle and wrestling for Ring of Honor.
Is he from Dragon Gate?
He has wrestled in Dragon Gate in the past. He was wrestling in New Japan as well for their.
The Super Juniors.
Yeah, Super Juniors, and
part of the Dragon Gate six man from way back when?
No, he wasn't back. No, not that far back. I was just about to say, he's part of the Fantastica. I can never pronounce it. Fantastica Mania shows between CMLL and New Japan. Because he had a great match with Takahashi back in the day, about 2015, I think it was 2014, 15. They had a really good set of matches.
Yeah.
So he's a really good talent to keep an eye out for, so I'm excited for that one. And just a final one, what's been announced is Matt Taven and Vinny Marzeglia. Yeah, we'll go with that. Yeah, so the Kingdom exploding, as well as Villain Enterprises exploding. So I'm a big fan of Matt Taven, and I'm a big fan of the Kingdom. So, I mean, I might be in a minority there, but I'm excited for that one as well. I think Matt Taven gets a lot of negativity towards him, but I'm a really big fan of his. So that's the card so far. Five decent sounding matches, and as long as they build up the card correctly, it could be fantastic.
And, obviously I touched on it during the PCO Mighty Scroll match. What do you make of Marty Scurll's contract situation?
I think it's especially interesting.
Sorry, Stephen. That's especially okay. When he's one third of the ROH World
six-man tag
team. Yeah, obviously King Trios then, but I was thinking that's from the ground. One third of the ROH six-man tag team champions, and he's got no appearances scheduled between now and his contract coming up.
It's an interesting situation. I mean, we know that he's got friends over in AEW, you know, with the Young Bucks and Kenny
Omega.
Although
he said in a recent interview that he has no friends, they're all dead.
So you never know what's gonna happen. I hope he doesn't go to WWE. That's my one thing I don't want him to do. I think he's still got a real, I mean, he's got a good relationship, or he did have, with New Japan as well. And although that relationship between Ring of Honor and New Japan has sort of waned, I think it's interesting because he's got options there as Marty, and he's got such incredible, we know this because we're British, but, and we've seen him for so long, you know, following his career. He's got such great charisma. He's so versatile. He's such an incredible talent.
The villain character to come from Party Marty to the villain was such a metamorphosis. Just absolutely incredible. Obviously, you know, if you want to see the best of the villain, check out his matches against Will Ospreay in Rev Pro, New Japan.
Ring of Honor.
Because the TV title changed hands, didn't it?
Yeah.
In the UK during the last tour. Yeah, I remember that. So, it would be really interesting, like you said. I think all roads probably lead to All Elite in terms of because if the Elite and Kenny Omega and stuff had gone to WWE, I think he would have gone there.
Yeah.
But all of his friends, which are dead, kind of in all Elite. So, yeah. It's a real shame that if he leaves Ring of Honor, because he should have been world champion, and we talked about it on the debut show, that he could have become champion during the ladder match at Madison Square Garden, yeah. Supercard, the G1 Supercard. So, yeah, and unbelievably, we've just passed the 40-minute mark for a show that was based pretty much on highlights. it just goes to show that we can talk, Ring of Honor with the best of them.
We can.
And yeah, but we talked about this off air, Stephen. I'll allow you to let me know if you think it's a good idea or not. Do you wanna go forward with the debate? 1 minute to talk about why, you know, your wrestler should have been, or could be, or should be ROH World Champion. What do you think?
Let's go for it.
You want to do it?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay, give me a second. Okay, three, because you're the guest, I'll let you go first. Three, two, one, go.
So we were talking, and I think that Jonathan Gresham, asked the last week, should be the Ring of Honor World Champion. His fantastic technical wrestler, his charisma is just unparalleled, his use of social media and getting fans engaged to his work all around the world is unbelievable. He has a brilliant look. He surprises us with the amount of versatility in his work as well. If you haven't seen much, he's also a great promo, and he's a great tag team wrestler as well. So he's got that going for him. And he's also one of the heads of the Ring of Honor dojo as well. So much like Bryan Danielson, who is definitely one of his idols, he, you know, is able to bring a lot of prestige to the training camp for the wrestlers. About a minute.
Well, you got 7 seconds left.
Oh, yeah, Jonathan Gresham for world champion.
That's pretty good. You just finished it. So for myself, 3, 2, 1, go. And in a surprise to nobody, my choice for Ring of Honor world champion is Paul London. Based on what he did back in the day, really. He joined in 2002, had an incredible old-school feud with Michael Shane, which ended up in the street fight. And the phrase, "please don't die," was coined after he jumped off the ladder with the Shooting Star Press and won the match. He then went on to have two title shots against a friend of mine, the one-time ROH champion Xavier, coming up short in both matches, but putting on a hell of a performance considering he'd just been in a number one contenders match. He last had a match against Samoa Joe for the ROH world title and come up short again, and then joined WWE. Paul London should have been ROH world champion. And there we go.
There we are.
So yeah, we can't promise to do a debate every week, but obviously we thought the show would be a lot less than what it currently is, which is 43 minutes long. We fought 15 minutes, but me and Stephen have obviously pulled it out of the bag. So just in finishing, we are part of the Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast team. We have a partnership with powerslam.tv, where you can watch over 6,500 hours of wrestling from 140 promotions, which is just incredible. You can have a month's free access to that by using the code BROKENFREE. I myself have used it to listen to Hitting High Spots with friend of the show, Jody Fleisch. I've watched The Montreal Theory, which was 5.5 hours of my time I'll never get back, but in a good way, because it talks about the before, during, and aftermath of the Montreal screw job. And I've watched the Monday Night Debate with Bruce Pritchard on the WWF side, Eric Bischoff on the WCW side, and AEW Le Champion, Chris Jericho is the host, and that's a really good listen and watch. And Stephen, is there any social media or website, hint hint, that you'll like to promote?
Nudge, wink, wink, say no more. It's good, yeah. Thanks, Python. So you can find me on Twitter. So my handle is at SteeJ215. I'm also on, or I'm a member of the Wrestling Estate, which is a wrestling website where you can find a lot of my written work, including, as mentioned earlier from Oliver, thankfully plugging it, a very well-received review of AAA When Worlds Collide, which can
When you mentioned that bar, it's like, okay, if people don't know who this is, which would be shocking, You know, obviously it was a nice segue.
Definitely, it was, and it's nice to know that it's been read and people are able to learn a lot from from my work. So you can find the Wrestling Estate; they're on Twitter at the Wrestling Est, so Wrestling EST, and the website itself is, if you search into Google for the Wrestling Estate, it's thewrestlingestate.com, and just keep following us on the Broken But Glorious podcast, me and Oliver. We're hoping to do this regularly. And just as last week, it was fantastic to be able to talk about this week's show. I loved it. Thank you, Oliver.
Yeah, no problem. And for myself, Free Time Morph, which I forget to put into the intro every time, which is just weird. I'll talk about those books in this instance. I've talked about Ring of Honor in both of my books, my British Wrestling one and my WrestleMania 24 one. So, yeah, if you want to read about my thoughts on ROH Unified and the ROH shows in Liverpool in 2007, where I was very lucky to, be in the same hotel as ROH wrestlers, which was an incredible time. And that book is called Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. And then in my WrestleMania 24 book, I was lucky enough to be at both ROH shows in Orlando, including Supercard of Honor.
That was
2008. Featured Austin Aries against Nigel McGuinness for the ROH World title. And that book is called A Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. They're both available signed. Stephen can tell you how good they are because he owns both books.
Brilliant books from brilliant shows as well. So fantastic.
Yeah. So, if you don't just take it from me, take it from Stephen. happy customer. And they're both available signed on my Big Cartel, fansperspective.bigcartel.com for £5 a piece. They're available on Amazon, on paperback and Kindle, Kindle instantaneously. Kindle Unlimited, I get paid per page as you read in your first sitting. And just to finish up for myself, my Twitter is at Brumial. My Instagram is at Brumial. My Facebook is facebook.com/AFansPerspectiveUK. To throw it back to the network we're on, and obviously the podcast, the network at twitter.com at BBG Wrestling. The podcast is at BBGW Pod. Our Facebook is at BBGW Pod. And yeah, I think that's everything. And we've gone 4 more minutes than I expected our podcast to go, because we're looking for 30 minutes to 45, so a little bit of work to do there, but hope you've enjoyed the show, which has once again been fantastic. Thank you very much for joining me this evening, Stephen, and look forward to doing our next ROH review.
Me too as well, Oliver. It's been great. So thank you again, everyone, for listening to last week, and I hope you enjoy this week as well, and thank you for having me again, Oliver. It's been great.
Yeah, no worries, Stephen.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Bye for now.
Bye. Bye.